The thing that trips people up on a bidet attachment install is not the water connection, it's the toilet seat itself, and specifically the size of it, which they haven't checked, and which, in about 1 in 4 bathrooms I've seen, doesn't match what they ordered. You buy the bidet, you bring it home, you read the instructions, you line up the attachment on the hinges, and nothing seats right. The unit hangs off the back of the seat by 1.5 inches, or worse, the mounting hardware won't reach. And now you're standing in your bathroom in your socks, with a box of parts and a receipt you're going to need. So before anything else, before you order, before you buy, before you commit, measure the distance from the front edge of your toilet seat hinge holes to the front edge of the bowl. Most bidets are designed for round or elongated bowls, and the one you're installing needs to match what you have. A round bowl is approximately 16.5 inches from mounting holes to front. An elongated bowl is closer to 18.5 inches. Know this before you buy anything. It takes 30 seconds with a tape measure and saves you an hour of frustration. That said, if you've got the right size and you're standing in front of a standard toilet with your new bidet attachment and a basic toolkit, this is a 2-hour install on the long end, and most of that is being careful. Here's what you need. Adjustable pliers. Don't use channel locks. You'll round the plastic nuts. A screwdriver. And a small bucket or a few old towels. That's genuinely it for tools. I keep a stubby flathead in my back pocket for these jobs. And there's usually a moment in every plumbing install where the stubby earns its existence, and the full-length screwdriver would have driven me crazy. The stubby flathead is the one item I hadn't thought about the first time I did this, and the one item I reached for every time after. It lives in my apron pocket now. The water supply is the starting point, and the first decision is the shutoff. There should be an angle stop valve. That's the oval-shaped valve on the wall behind or under the toilet. Usually chrome, usually accessible without moving anything, that controls water flow to the tank. Turn it clockwise until it stops. Not hard. These valves strip if you reef on them. Firm enough to seat closed, that's all. Flush the toilet once to drain the tank, then flush again. If water is still flowing into the tank after the second flush, the shutoff isn't seating. In older homes, these valves sometimes don't fully close because the washers inside have deteriorated. If yours doesn't close, you'll need to shut off the main water supply and then replace the angle stop before you continue. Don't try to work around a bad shutoff. You'll regret it on the far side of a minor flood. Once the tank is drained, the next step is disconnecting the supply line. This is the braided metal line, or in older installs, a chrome or plastic line that runs from the angle stop up to the bottom of the tank. There's a coupling nut at the bottom of the tank inlet. Unscrew it by hand first. If it won't break loose by hand, use your adjustable pliers. But one firm quarter turn is usually all you need. Have a small container or a folded towel ready under the connection point. There's residual water in the line, and it will drain out when you disconnect. It's usually less than a cup. The bidet attachment's T-valve is what connects your bidet to the water supply. It's a simple brass or plastic fitting that threads onto the tank inlet and then accepts both the existing supply line and the bidet's supply hose. Thread the T-valve onto the tank inlet by hand first, finger tight. Then snug it with pliers. A quarter to a half turn past finger tight. No pipe tape needed here, because the fitting uses a rubber washer seat, and over-tightening will distort the washer and create a drip. The correct feel is resistance with a slight firmness at the end, not a grinding stop, not a soft give. The threading is usually right-hand thread, clockwise to tighten, counterclockwise to loosen. The supply line reconnects to the bottom of the T-valve. Same process, finger tight, then a quarter to half turn with pliers. The bidet's own supply hose, the shorter braided line that comes in the box, connects between the T-valve side port and the bidet unit's inlet. Hand tight, then snug. Don't use tools on this connection if you can avoid it. The hose ends are often plastic threaded, and plastic threads don't appreciate channel lock pressure. Now, the seat. Remove your existing toilet seat. There are two bolts, usually plastic, sometimes metal, running through the top of the seat hinge area, with nuts underneath the bowl rim. The nuts are usually wing nuts you can spin off by hand, but older installs sometimes have embedded nuts that require a screwdriver on top and pliers on bottom. The bidet attachment's mounting hardware goes in the same holes. On most units, there's a mounting plate that slides onto the bolt holes, and then the bidet attachment clips or snaps onto the mounting plate. Read the specific instructions for your unit. The mounting mechanism varies between manufacturers, but the concept is consistent. The bolts go back through the mounting plate and the existing hinge holes. The wing nuts thread back on from below, and you tighten until snug. Then, check that the attachment doesn't rock forward or backward. It should sit flat and stable against the bowl rim. The toilet seat goes back on top of the bidet attachment's mounting plate. Most bidet attachments are designed to sit flush enough that the original seat can be reinstalled without significant gap or rocking. If you're getting an uncomfortable amount of tilt, the mounting plate isn't seated flat on the bowl rim. Remove, reseat, recheck. Before you turn the water back on, take 60 seconds to confirm all three connections. Tank inlet at the T-valve, supply line at the T-valve, and bidet hose at the T-valve side port. Look at them. Make sure no washer has shifted. Then, open the angle stop slowly, not all at once, but gradually, a quarter turn at a time, and watch each connection as pressure builds in the system. The first 30 seconds of water pressure will reveal any drip that's going to develop. If you see any moisture at a connection, shut the valve, tighten the appropriate fitting by a quarter turn, and reopen. This is significantly easier to address now than in 2 weeks when you're pulling everything apart because your toilet cabinet is wet. My mistake the first time I did this, and it was a mistake born of overconfidence, which is the most expensive kind, was over-tightening the bidet hose connection. I was used to metal-to-metal plumbing work, where the feel of a tight connection is different from plastic to plastic, and I went a quarter turn too far and cracked the hose fitting. Not immediately obvious. A hairline crack in a plastic hose fitting is not visible until water pressure finds it. I turned the valve on. Everything looked fine. I left, came back to find a small steady drip that had been running for 4 hours. The crack had been invisible to me. The pressure found it. The practical fix was simple. Replace the hose, reconnect, problem resolved. The lesson was more durable. When you're connecting braided hose to plastic fittings, you are done when resistance becomes firm. A quarter turn past resistance is the limit. The feel you're looking for is not the same as copper to brass or steel to steel. Plastic has less tolerance for overtorque, and the fittings are not designed to be reusable after they crack. Feel for the transition from loose to snug to firm, and stop at firm. The function test is the last thing, and it's worth doing before you put any tools away. Turn the water on fully. Fill the tank. Flush. Watch the refill. The bidet attachment is not connected to the tank, it's connected to the supply, so the tank filling is irrelevant to the bidet's function. But it tells you that your T-valve didn't disturb the tank supply connection. Then use the bidet controls to run water through the nozzle into the bowl. Confirm that the pressure adjustment, most basic units have a simple dial, responds. Confirm that the nozzle is aimed correctly for your geometry. This is the conversation most install guides skip entirely. The nozzle position is adjustable on most units. If you're finding it's not aimed where you need it, that's an adjustment, not a defect. Most people need to shift the unit forward or backward on its mounting plate to optimize nozzle position. This requires loosening the mounting nuts slightly, repositioning, and retightening. It's a 5-minute adjustment once you've confirmed water function, and it's the difference between a unit that works for you and a unit that kind of works. One thing that gets skipped in every tutorial I've watched and that I've seen cause real frustration, the water pressure at the bidet nozzle on a basic non-heated attachment is cold water from the supply line. This is not a malfunction. If you want warm water, you need a non-electric warm water attachment, which uses a dual connection to both the cold supply and the hot supply line under the sink, or a fully electric bidet seat. The basic attachment delivers cold supply water because that's what it's connected to. Knowing this before your first use prevents a startling experience. If the nozzle is leaking water when you're not using it, a continuous thin trickle when the bidet controls are in the off position, the internal valve isn't seating fully. This usually means debris in the supply line has lodged in the seat. Turn off the angle stop. Disconnect the bidet hose at the bidet inlet. Flush the hose briefly by opening the angle stop for a second or two with the hose aimed into a bucket. This clears the debris. Reconnect, reopen, retest. What's fighting you right now in your bathroom? Bad angle stop? Wrong seat size? A tank that won't stop running? Drop it in the comments, because half the plumbing problems I've heard about start in bathrooms, and the fix is usually closer than it looks. One last thing, and it matters. After you've confirmed everything works and you're putting away your tools, grab a clean dry rag and wipe down all 3 connection points. I mean bone dry. Not a quick swipe, but dry enough that if there's any slow seep that developed in the first pressurization, you'll see it in the morning. Leave the rag folded flat on the floor beneath the connection point overnight. Check it in the morning. If it's wet, you have a slow leak to address before it becomes a cabinet moisture problem. If it's dry, you're done and you can close the cabinet. The cabinet, by the way, is where a lot of toilet area plumbing damage accumulates invisibly. People fix a leak, put back the cabinet door, and don't check again for months. By the time the wet smell develops, there's significant material damage inside. Get in the habit of opening that cabinet once a month. It takes 5 seconds and catches things before they become expensive. Installing a bidet attachment is genuinely a Saturday morning job. 2 hours with setup, function test, and cleanup, and you're done. The savings over toilet paper costs alone. Studies have estimated that a bidet attachment can reduce household toilet paper use by 70 to 80%. Make it cost neutral within 6 to 12 months in most households. The average American spends between $80 and $100 per year on toilet paper. A basic bidet attachment costs around $40 to $70. The math is not complicated. What was more complicated, at least the first time I installed one, was the muscle memory of assuming any plumbing joint works like a metal joint. It doesn't. Plastic fittings, plastic threads, plastic hose barbs, these require a different hand than copper and brass. The lesson cost me a cracked fitting and a 4-hour drip. The lesson costs you nothing. That's the whole point of this.